You're not taking steps to cover distance. It's not about the distance that you cover. It is simply about being in motion. So many times people will say, "Well, I don't want to take that. It's just such a small step." Like, but you don't get to the other side of the river in a leap. It is all small steps. And it's not about, don't judge the distance. It's simply about staying in motion.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey friends, welcome back. We're going to get awkward, and I have an awesome guest today. One of my newest, most amazing friends, Carla Howard, who is a professional paid speaker. She trains other speakers how to do their job well and get gigs. And she also has the Rise Sisters community. Just an amazing person. Carla, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here with you, Andy. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you for joining me, and thank you for being willing to get into the awkward. I love having these conversations, and I learn so much on every one, so I can't wait to hear what your thing is.
Yeah, so it was funny when you sent me the note and said, okay, I'm going to ask you, what is your awkward, and what did you have to own to really get where you are today in your business or your life? I had some fun with it, so I know what I think it is. And I went to my family and I'm like, you guys, I have to talk about what makes me awkward. So what do you think makes me awkward? And of course, my husband's like, I don't think you are. And I'm like, that's not true. You do. You know, you got to know what that thing is. And it's funny because what he said and what my daughters said really kind of came out in the theme of, I'm really comfortable taking charge of things. And so it can be off-putting. If you don't know me well or you don't expect it, you know, I kind of blow through the room like a storm, you know, and I don't do really well with ambiguity. Now, that doesn't mean I don't work well in ambiguity, because I do, but I'm going to drive us to figure some stuff out. So a perfect example, I was on a call this week and this guy set it up, and I, after about 3 minutes, I said, hang on a minute, I don't understand the purpose of the call. So why are we meeting? And he was kind of like, oh, well, you know, this and that. I said, no, that's not a purpose. I don't understand what we're doing on the call. And I know that that can be off-putting, and it's part of what's helped me be very, very successful in my business and my speaking career and in my corporate life. So I'm going to pause there and see what questions you have for me, because it relates directly to what I know is awkward about me that I've had to own. So any thoughts or questions about that?
Oh, well, I love that. And I can tell you that I have been on calls that I've even set up that haven't had a lot of purpose behind them, where it's like, oh, we're just going to meet, we're going to chat, we're going to whatever.
Yeah.
But I have had times where, you know, I got on one call with somebody and she's like, remind me again, why were we doing this? Or how did we get to set up? And it was like, and that was a particular one where someone introduced us because they thought we should be connected through LinkedIn, and both have podcasts. It was one of those, maybe you guys should have each other on. And I said, I get it. I've had like six of these introductions this week. I actually had to go back and find in the chat who put us together. But it was very refreshing to have someone say, let's have a point to this call. Let's make sure we know why we're here. Because we do get into that space of ambiguity. And now I have a lot of questions, but is that, because usually I start off with a little different trend, and then I jump into the awkward, but I didn't even have to ask. And you're just like, I am ready to get into it, which I love. Speaking of taking charge of the situation, you're
yeah.
right there. But is that what you felt your awkward was? Or was that like, oh, that's a thing I'm going to talk about? Or were there other things?
There was another thing. So I do know that about me. I guess I didn't realize how awkward it was, because they all like said, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so. So my thing that I know is awkward about me is I have a passion for talking with women about money. I want to know how much money they make in their day job. I want to know how they're planning for their future. I want to know, now I'm not just going to walk up to a woman, on a street corner and start asking these questions, but women in my life that I'm working with. And you went through the Get Paid from the Stage program. We're going to talk about money. How much money are you asking for your talks? How much are you getting? Let's talk about how much you should be getting, because here's what happens. And I've seen this with women in corporate over and over and over again, because I have experienced myself as a woman, and I have been in a leadership role where I see what people's salaries are. And if we are not talking with women, if you're not saying to that corporate woman sitting next to you, how much money do you make? Here's how much I make. Like, let's talk about it. And hey, Joe, how much do you make? Because we're not going to fix this salary discrepancy if we keep hiding behind the corporate veil of you can't talk about how much money you make. The reason that corporations say you can't talk about how much money you make is because there's inequities. And so we have to have very transparent money conversations. And I am comfortable with it all day long. I have, you've been through it. We talk about money and Get Paid from the Stage. In my Rise Sister membership, we talk about how much money are you making? How are you making your money? Here's how much money I'm making. Here's how I got there. Here's, let's have an open, transparent conversation about money so that we can all earn a great living. And so that is incredibly awkward if you were raised that, it's rude to talk about money. It's rude to ask about money. And it's bragging if you tell people how much money you make, right? So getting past all of that can be very awkward. And I have a huge passion about just knocking that out of the way and saying, no, we are gonna talk about money because that's how we're gonna rise.
Yeah, I think that that is so critical, because I remember early on in my career, and not even that long ago, where you have these conversations, you're trying to get guidance on how, whether it's how much to charge for a product for your service, like before I was in the Get Paid from the Stage program, even where people are like, oh, all the data and research and everything people tell you is, oh, you just got to research the market, you got to see what things are, and that's just all bull. Like that doesn't tell me any tangible number, and that could be anywhere from $500 to $20,000, and you end up, number one, undervaluing yourself, leaving money on the table, and not having any realistic price to put out there to know if you're way overshooting it too. But I love the idea of actually bringing the conversation to light, because you bring up a really good point about these corporations that don't want you to talk about your money. And that's ridiculous, because if a job has a certain value, that's the value. Or if a
That's
person
right.
has a certain history that they bring and that's why they have that value, then you can say, if you want to get to where Carla is and what she's making, here's the path we need to get you on. Here's the experience we need to get you, or here's the job we need to get you in that has that value, and not have it be about, oh, well, so and so had a complaint to the boss and, complained about their money enough that they got a raise and someone else wasn't willing to do that. So now they don't get the
That's
value.
right. Yeah, that's right. And I really believe knowledge is power. So if I know how much other speakers are making, I know how to, gauge my own speaking fees, and I know how to guide others. If I'm in corporate and I know how much Sally, Joe, and Jim are making, I can see what that value is, or I can question it and say, hang on a minute, I'm making $40,000 a year less than Joe. Tell me why. And we can start to fix that, right? I've seen all kinds of statistics where they say if we continue at the rate we are, it's going to be something ridiculous, like 2075 or something before we get parity in pay. And that's just insanity. Like we have to be able to see what people are making and have conversations about it in order to bridge the gaps that are out there. And you're right, as an entrepreneur, it is critically important for me that I know what other entrepreneurs are charging for their services, so I know if I'm even in the ballpark. Otherwise, I'm more likely to undervalue what I'm doing. So.
Yeah, and I will tell you just an example. I quoted an event a couple days ago, and it's local and it's easy, it's doesn't require travel. And I thought, oh, I could knock this down 40% from my base fee. And I had your voice in my head, like, no, don't do it. I did go on the lower end of my range, because it is I've got the time and, could use the work and all that stuff. But also, it's like, no, you don't have to cut everything in half. You don't have to go all the way down here. And then
That's
you have a
right.
conversation. But I'm curious because this is an awkward topic. And I also was raised, like you mentioned, where it's rude to talk about money or you're bragging or you're getting into people's business. And that's just one of those things you don't do. So what was the point where you turned, where you actually said, I got to find out, I got to ask somebody, was there an event? Do you remember?
I will say, so what's really interesting, I had amazing parents. I lost them both in the last couple of years, and just like phenomenal. When I entered the workforce, I had no idea that there was this thing called, women are supposed to do certain jobs, right? Like I could do anything I wanted to do. As far as money goes, I grew up, they had money conversations in front of us. They never hid it. They would sit at the table. They would talk about their budget. I was so fascinated by it. My mom and dad would show me. They didn't have spreadsheets, back then. I'm 62,
Right.
so you're talking, 55 years ago. We didn't have spreadsheets, but they had. I remember the notebook with like the budget written out, and they would show me things. And when I wanted to do something, they'd say, "Well, here's the budget. Here's what what we got to move around." And then as I got older and started going to school, my dad had conversations with me about the importance of, participating in the 401k and why and how quick your money would double. And so, and he would tell me what was in their 401k. This is what me and your mom did, and this is what we have. And so it was never a secret in our house to talk about money. So I was kind of raised on both sides of that, a really good example of being financially responsible and understanding from an early age what money was all about. And then there was also that, but you can't ask other people what they make because that's rude, right? And so I kept those boundaries until I was in corporate, and I remember being very coached that you cannot tell anybody what your raise was, you cannot ask anybody else what they make. And I thought, this is weird because the only reason we're not talking about this is because there's a problem. If there wasn't a problem, we could talk about it. And I went to work for a local utility, Arizona Public Service Company, and I heard the union guys talking about their money. And I'm like, are you guys going to get in trouble for that? And they're like, no, you Carla, the union's different. And they pull down this book and they're like, this is what we make, and this is how it's figured out. And I'm like, it's in a book? And they said, yeah. And I'm like, that's freaking brilliant. Everybody's income should be like that, right? And so I started talking with other women about their, and I'm like, if I get in trouble, they can call me in all they want because I know there's a problem and we got to start having this conversation. So I would say the aha moments were really watching my parents talk about money and realizing it's not a bad thing. We have to learn how to do this. And then seeing that union book, and I'm like, yeah, if they can talk about money, I can talk about money. So
I love that. And to go back to sitting at that table with your parents, I think that what a gift to actually have, for one thing, as a child or a young adult to see, oh, if you want to join this club or do this sport or whatever the thing is, here's what we're having as a family to do to make it work. So you understand the true cost. And also, you can appreciate what's being rearranged for you to do it. Because that's, I was that traditional, I never had any idea. What I knew my parents weren't rolling in the dough, but I had
yep.
no idea what that really meant because there tends to be money when people want money for things. So it's like, wait, we don't have money, but we did go camping all summer, or we don't have money, but we did this. So it's like, so how does that work? And it wasn't until I was, further along in adulthood where I actually got comfortable with money and managing a budget, really, because now it's like that's one of the things I help people with. But I was a mess with that. But then the other thing that I find interesting from what you just said was the corporate side
Yes.
getting into this, the union has this thing listed out. And I find it ironic because corporations list their top salaries and their C level, like that a lot of that is public knowledge. And then there gets to this point where it's like, oh, we can't share this information. It's like, well,
That's
why
right.
does this need to be blacked out?
It has to be blacked out because there's a problem. That's the reason why. And it's really interesting. So I have the Rise Sister membership, which is for kind and ambitious female entrepreneurs. And we do masterminds, we do co-working, we do all kinds of things. And I talk about money with them. And when people are new, you can just see, like, they take a deep breath, like, ah, you know, like, this is uncomfortable, you know?
Right.
And I'm so comfortable with talking about it that that's the kind of the awkward part. And I'll say, okay, take a deep breath because we're going to talk about money now. So, you know, what are you charging for your products? Like, what are you charging for your coaching? And I'll say, man, that is so low. Like, listen, Sue, who's in our membership, is charging this much. Like, what are you doing, sister? You know, let's talk about that. So, it can be especially awkward if you were raised that it is kind of taboo and you don't ask and it's rude and all of those things. And here's the other thing. I'm going to celebrate getting rich, and I'm going to celebrate my women getting rich, and I'm going to celebrate my speakers getting rich. Getting rich is not a thing to be ashamed of. It's a thing that we're going to celebrate. We're going to jump up and down, and we're going to get really excited about because it means we can grow our businesses. We can bring in more people into our enterprises. We can pay them better. We can serve more people. We can buy advertising, and we can continue to do the work that's been laid on our hearts. And so we are going to have no shame about building wealth. And the only way you can get there is by talking about money.
Right. Yeah. And that's, and like you said, that is so uncomfortable for so many people. So when you started bringing this up and you're in the corporate world, did you get hauled in? Was it a Carla? I know that you're passionate about this, but we got to tame it down. Or did you have people, even women, who were like, I'm not telling you, or were people, how did they react?
Yeah. You know, I didn't like get out a bullhorn and say, okay, we're gonna go in conference room, you know, Adobe and everybody bring your recent pay stub, because I knew that I would get in trouble for it. So it was more of a trusted circle of people that I would say, all right, dude, how much do you make? Like, seriously, tell me, because I have a feeling I'm underpaid. So let's talk about it, right? And I got much bolder after I left. So I would have those conversations with trusted associates while I was in corporate. And then when I left, it took me a little while. I don't know if you worked in the corporate space, Andy, before you. So it takes a while to kind of let go of the rules. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like you still have, I don't know, you know, this corporate bubble around you where you can't say certain things. You can't do certain things on social media because so and so is going to think this or that. Or so it took a while to shed the expectations of what's acceptable in corporate. And I really, inside of my Rise Sister membership, started hitting it with those ladies to say, you guys, if we're going to build wealth, that means we're talking about money. And then when I built the Get Paid from the Stage program, a component of that is a whole, we have a whole lesson around. How much should you be charging? What other value should you be asking for that you're probably leaving on the table? How can you get paid for the value you deliver? And what do we do about that mindset that says, you know, I can't ask for $15,000 for an hour on the stage? Well, yeah, you can, because you're not getting paid for an hour on the stage. You're getting paid for your life's work. You're getting paid for 30 years of doing work that has created transformation. You're going to give your audience a transformation that's worth more than $15,000. So it's that whole mindset shift. So I really stepped into, we're going to talk about money and wealth, and we're going to talk about how to grow our businesses really strong after I left corporate.
I love that. And it's funny how we do that with our mind, where we go pay a surgeon and we're not saying, this surgery costs $20,000. Why would I pay them for 45 minutes or an hour of their time? That there's
That's
no way
right.
I'm paying them $20,000 an hour, because we know we're paying for the skill, we're paying for the training, we're paying for the practice, we're paying for them staying up to date on all the latest ways to keep us
That's
safe,
right.
perform the surgery the right way. And then when we transfer that to our skill, we don't go, oh, you know what? This $15,000 talk isn't for the hour. It's for all of the practice that I do day in, day out. It's for me pulling over on the side of the road to write down the idea for the next topic that I want to talk about that just popped in my head because I'm always thinking about it. But there's something we've got to get over there. And it's so empowering once you get to that mindset. But when you get into these moments with your Rise Sisters and Get Paid from the Stage, do you have people who are just not ready, who are or still stuck in that corporate mindset where it's how do you get them past that?
Yeah, I think it's just continuing to have the conversation. I think especially if they're not earning what they had hoped to be earning at this point, it's more like they feel the shame of not being able to say, well, I'm making this much and I'm doing that. Anything they're doing is awesome because starting a business is not for the weak of heart. And so many of us entrepreneurs, we sit in a closet with a pencil and a little pull light and try to figure everything out on our own, and we just can't do it. And so part of what we do is we brainstorm then around, well, let's talk about how you can get, how you can get there. Like here, let's work together on this. So I think, it's just a process and everybody's different. And I think too, they get to know me over time. And so they know, and you've heard me say this in the Get Paid from the Stage program too, like, okay, here it comes. Here's my feedback. I'm saying it with love, and y'all need to raise your rates around here. Give me a break, right? Like, let's talk about that. So there's no judgment on my part. I just want that to lift them up and help them be the best they can be and get paid for the value that I know that they're delivering. So once they understand that about what I'm thinking and why I want to have the money conversation, then it's like, okay, there's not, I'm not asking because I just have a tally sheet over here and I want to rank you or something. I want to help you. So
And I do think that that sometimes can be, for whatever reason in our experiences, we tend to think someone's asking me this because they're comparing, because
yes.
they're gonna figure out where I fit in the lineup, and that's how they're gonna then value me. And
That's right.
yeah, there's that example you used of, someone saying that they charge X for their program. You're like, but she's charging $7,000. It's not to say that you're lower than her, it's because you should be at $7,000 or whatever the price is.
Yeah, and so I think it sometimes just takes time to build that relationship and build that trust with them. So that they are comfortable talking about it. And then, with the speakers, we go through a whole pricing methodology. And, some speakers are ready to jump right in, and some are like, I kind of want to start here. And then I'm like, okay, then you do you. That's cool. Just know, I think your price ought to be here. And, it's kind of like people will always ask me, well, how do I, when do I say I'm a professional speaker? And I'm like, go look in the mirror. Say out loud, I'm a professional speaker. Say it like 50 times and then go put it on your LinkedIn because there's no, magic speaker fairy that's going to come down and annoy you. You are a professional speaker the minute you own it. So own it and let's get going, right? And so it's there's a little bit of that too.
Right. And I think sometimes when we step into a position, we forget that everything we've done in the past gives us the qualifications for that position.
That's right.
I did countless trainings and business reviews and all sorts of public speaking my entire life, but especially the last, well, I hate to say how long it's been when I was in corporate. I always want to say the last 5, 10 years. I'm like, oh crap, wait, go 30.
Yeah.
But to me, I marked I am a professional speaker based on when I started going and charging for speaking as a professional speaker. Yet I've been getting paid by my corporate jobs to be the presenter, to be the one doing all these things this whole time. And then I got this hang up around this. And so you're right, it is a matter of just owning it and saying, and you do have to seriously 50, maybe even 100 times, and then again
Yeah.
say it in the mirror.
Your example as surgeon is spot on. And the more that we understand our value and we're very clear about who we serve and what transformation we're delivering and really tighten that down, that's what allows us to then ask for more money. I guarantee you, if I had a surgery and my surgeon was going to be $20,000 and someone, and I wouldn't look at him and say, oh, that's great, you're the best in your field. Fantastic. There's this guy that took a biology class last week and he's only going to charge me 5,000, so I'm actually going to go get my surgery from him. That ain't happening. People are happy to pay for value from people who are going to solve their problem and do it well. And so that's how we get to that position in our corporate careers and as entrepreneurs, as speakers. However you earn your money, own your expertise, package it up in a way that showcases how you're going to solve someone's problem, and you can demand a higher salary or a speaker fee or, price for your program, because then, price is secondary. I want Andy because Andy knows exactly what I'm dealing with. Andy can solve my problem.
I love that. Now, did you like you have experienced this both in the corporate world and now also as an entrepreneur, both for yourself, but also with the things that you do and the people you're working with, you have amazing visibility to people at all different levels in their journey. So for you, I'm curious, when you started having these conversations in corporate, did that make your corporate journey better, or was that, I'm not going to find it here, I got to get out?
Gosh, that is such a good question. I knew that I had a ceiling on what I could make in corporate. And I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I was terrified about being an entrepreneur because I really like stability. So I like knowing how much money I've got coming in, and I built a side business really in my mind, which was never going to happen. I thought, well, once it equals my income, I'll make the jump. Well, that was never going to happen. Maybe some people can do it, but my day job required so much of me, right? So, I got laid off and I had to decide, me and my whole team got laid off and I had to decide what I was going to do next. And so I applied for jobs, and I started looking for speaking gigs. And the interviews that I took were hysterical because I'd literally be in the middle of the interview and I'd be like, you know what? This isn't going to work. Like, this is, I don't want the job, and you're not going to want to hire me because this is not what I'm looking for. And my husband finally said, why don't you just don't want to work for somebody else? Why don't you go give it a go? And so that's how I really jumped into entrepreneurship. And at first, I will tell you, it felt riskier from a financial standpoint because I could not put in my magic spreadsheet, how much money was going to come in every month. Once I got over that feeling and started creating multiple streams of income, I realized it's actually safer for me because I can pull different levers for income. I have great connections. And no, I don't always know exactly how much money is going to come in. But you know what? There is no ceiling on what I can earn either.
Right.
I can earn a lot more than I make in my corporate job. And so when I first started, I had this imaginary ceiling in my mind that I would never earn in my business more than I made as a corporate employee. And for the first probably 3 years, that was true. And I would get right, like, it's like I scripted it. I would get right up to the amount of money I made. And then that would be it. Last year, I made $150,000 more than I earned in my corporate year, in my corporate career when I was working in corporate. And so that I was just like, hallelujah. Like, yes, there is not a cap, right? And I had a goal.
Congratulations. That is awesome.
Thank you. And this is my like comfortable talking about money side, right? And then I have a goal for 2024 to earn $250,000 more than I earned in my corporate career.
Nice.
And I know it's possible, but that wouldn't have happened in corporate, right? I'm not going to get a bonus. I'm not going to get a raise. I'm not going to get a new job that's going to get me to that level. And I have multiple levers I can pull. And so if something doesn't, go as I've planned or something dries up, I have these other levers that I can go and earn income. I actually have a huge spreadsheet with all the ways I can earn money. When I lost my job, I'm like, I can be a barista. I can, go do workshops. The neighbor's lawn's looking shabby. Maybe I go mow the lawn. I mean, I'm not kidding. It was like all of the ways I can earn money. And so when I start to get panicky when I have a rough month, I'm like, well, what are all the ways I can make money? Let's go look at that. So the answer is no, it's not what forced me into entrepreneurship, right? Is this idea of earning more money. And it is the thing that I will tell you, I am now not employable for a corporation because I'm never going to hand over the keys to my financial freedom to somebody else. I'm going to hold on to that.
Right. I love that. And I love this idea of having a list of all of the ways that you can make money. I'm a huge fan of lists. This is something that I work with on my clients. It's in my books. It's like if you write out all of the possibilities,
Yes.
like I have this thing where sometimes I'll put an index card in my pocket because I had this moment one time where I was like, wait, the reason that I'm not getting the success I want isn't because of a lack of opportunity. It's a lack of follow-up or action or whatever else on my part that isn't getting me to those opportunities. So on the back of the index card, I write every opportunity I have to make money. And it might be a person's name who reached out to me that I need to call back, or applying for whatever thing. All of these things are things that I can do that will lead me to money. And so whenever
Yeah.
we get in that space, similar idea where it's like, wait, I don't know how what to do next. Like, do something on this card instead of turning on Netflix. Do one thing, any just one thing on the card. It doesn't mean you can't have some downtime to chill, but don't do it to numb yourself from taking action. That has to be so empowering to just have that list in front of you. You're like, wait, I can pay the bills one way or another.
If I start to panic, because listen, you're an entrepreneur, you know the gig. There's months that I start to panic, right? Because
Yeah.
it feels nice when you're in corporate and you know every 2 weeks how much money's going to land in your account. That's a nice feeling.
Right.
And so I'll like have a month and I'm like, oh my gosh, is this my new life, right? And it's like, nope, remember, there's a lot of ways you can earn money. The other thing that I do, and anybody that knows me well has heard me, I just always say it, money loves me. Money loves me. It's okay. Money loves me. It's going to work out. There's lots of ways I can make money. This is not the end. It's just a redirect. I'm just being redirected to something else. So let's go figure out what that next thing is. And I'm a big believer in staying in motion as it relates to your career or your business. The small steps that we take are not about the distance that we cover. It's about being in motion, having a mindset that, you are creating abundance in your life, having a mindset that all these things are working for me. My job is to dream as big as I can, know that there are even bigger dreams that I can't see coming my way, and staying in motion. Because abundance will not find you if you're standing still. And part of that is also saying, money loves me. I don't have to worry about money because I just need to stay in motion and opportunities are going to come up for me.
Yeah, and it's a mind shift because I've been in both sides where like I have opportunities that don't work out or things that are going away that were money, and all of a sudden people are like, are you worried? I'm like, no, I don't know where the money's going to come from, but I know it's on the way. And
That's right.
I lost my job before I started my speaking business in 2017, and I remember it was May 2017, and I told my May 27th of 2017, and I told my best friend, I said, well, I'm going to run out of money on October 4th. That's my go negative day in my spreadsheet because I've got my budget done for the whole year. And she's like, dude, how do you even know that? Like, she's like, I would have no clue. I said, well, based on all the things, I just need to make some money in the next 4 months to make it another month. Like, I was like, I don't know, same thing. I'll be mowing lawns, changing light bulbs, whatever. And I haven't run out of money since. It keeps coming
Yeah.
in. And you find a way, and that's just, it's going to be there, and you just have to be able to trust it that you don't know where it's going to come from, but you do have to take motion. You can't sit back on the couch and go, money loves me, it'll be here soon. I'm
No.
waiting.
Yeah, you have to be in motion. You have to follow up on opportunities. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to do some uncomfortable things, call in your resources, apply for things, check in with people. It takes all of those things, right? And then little by little, something starts to shake out. And next thing you're like, you got this opportunity in front of you, and it's enough to get you to the next, and then to get you to the next. And then, bigger opportunities come. But it really is, to me, it is so important that I am in motion every day. I am moving the needle every day, doing something that is going to move my business forward, whether I feel like it or not, whether I want to do it or not. And also being really careful that I am not doing the things that are not moving the needle. So I have a planner, and I'm a big paper planner girl. So like this is today, right? So I've got this is my business Bible. And one of the other things I do is every morning I will get up in the morning and I'll say, okay, because I plan things out. You know, I've got many, many projects, and so I'm have you know prep for certain ones on certain days, and you know there's a lot going on in there. I cross through the things that aren't moving the needle, so it's like, okay, I planned that, but is that working? Nope, not doing it, right? Because you can go down a rabbit hole and think you're in motion when what you're really doing is waiting. So what I mean by that is we trick ourselves into thinking that we're moving forward when we're researching, we're getting that next certificate, we're planning, but what we're really doing is waiting. And that is a tricky word that acts like a verb, but it's actually you're not doing anything, you're just waiting. So we also have to be really careful that we're diligent about going through and saying, where am I tricking myself into thinking I'm doing something that's got me in motion, and I'm gonna cross those things off my list. I'm not doing those anymore.
Well, I love that, and I love the idea of being aware, because I think sometimes we start these projects, and then they kind of become our baby. So it's so hard to let go of because we put hours into it, or we have this promise in our head that me doing this thing is going to be the thing, like getting that certificate or whatever. That's like, for one thing, we lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that the reason we don't have what we want is because we don't have this missing piece. So if I
That's
focus on
right.
the missing piece, then I'll get the thing. How did you come to a realization where you had to let go of stuff, or did you have something that was getting in the way, or how did you get to that space?
Where I can just let go of things. When I first started my business, if I made a plan, I was going to finish it and wrap it up. So social media is a perfect example. I'm going to post this many times a week. I'm going to be on these platforms. I'm doing all these things right on social media to get visibility. And I probably stuck to that plan for 2 or 3 years. And I was doing my New Year's planning. And one of the activities I go through every year is what's not working. I'm like, well, this social media thing is not working for me. Like, it is not bringing me business. I'm not meeting anybody new. And it's taking a ton of time. And so I stopped being on several platforms. So I don't do Pinterest anymore. You know, I don't do anything on Twitter. There's a couple others that I'm just like, I don't do Clubhouse anymore. I'm like, nope. And then I was like, how can I make social media easy? Because I do think it's important to stay in front of people. My main audience is on LinkedIn. And so I want to make sure that I keep a strong presence on LinkedIn, and I have a Instagram account that has a decent amount of followers. So I made it easier. I've got an executive assistant, and so I do walking videos. Anybody that follows me knows I'm going to be outside walking. I'm going to have a short message. I do it twice a week, and I send her the videos in bulk, and she adds the captions. She creates drafts of the post for me, and then she takes it from there. So all I really have to do is do a walking video, do a quick review, and I'm done. And then I repurpose it so that same video gets a little bit of a different thumbnail, and it goes on YouTube. And then for my email that goes out once a week, one of those videos is in my email. So I came up with a system where I'm like, okay, I do want to do email. I do want to be on LinkedIn, and I do want to keep an Instagram presence. How could I make that easy? And so I wrap it all together. So my amount of time is so small now. And then when I am on LinkedIn or when I am on Instagram, I'm engaging, I'm talking to people, I'm commenting on their posts. So that's an example of stepping back and saying, okay, yeah, maybe I do need a social media presence, but that doesn't mean I have to do it the way everybody else does it, or I have to do it the way I've been doing it. I have to make this easier. And it freed up hours in a week for me to now do things like reach out to people. Talk about my program, get on podcasts, do the things that are actually going to give me visibility, which is really what my goal was for social media. So stepping away from what I'm doing and saying, what's the goal? How can I make it easy? And what do I want to add if I'm not getting where I want to go with that goal?
I love that clarity, and I love that you were able to, number one, notice how it wasn't working and how much time it was taking, but still find where there was important value and say, well, this piece needs to stay, but if I make it functional for myself, I can still get that value. Because I think one of the things that I analyze a lot, I'm very much, how much bang for my buck am I going to get out of my time and my money? So if I get an extra $2,000 in my bank and I think, okay, I've got all these things I could spend on my business, whether it's merchandise, whether it's marketing, whether it's getting some certificate, whatever the thing is, I look down, I'm like, okay, but which one's going to move the needle? Which
Yes.
one is worth doing? And maybe that's a combination of a few things, but same thing with time. Like, you're spending all this time, and social media is that thing. If you're trying to do all the sites, and I've kind of given up on a couple where I don't, like, I never post on Twitter. It's there. It's every once in a while it grabs a link, but it's like we are drowning ourselves in busy work. But then, like you said earlier, that messes with our mind because we think we are doing stuff and we think we are being productive, but actually we're not. We're lying to ourselves without meaning to.
It's easy to hide behind that. And here's the other thing, and this is the, I'd say, the painful truth of entrepreneurship. And this is why it's so important to me to talk about money. If you're not paying yourself a salary, you have a hobby. So we can call it a business all day long, but if you're paying for expensive coaches and expensive memberships and all these certifications and ads and all of the things, and at the end of the day, your bank account balances out, to you got a couple hundred, maybe $1,000 in there, and you've been able to pay all the bills, but you're not paying yourself, you have a hobby, and it's taken all your time. So we have to, as entrepreneurs, pay ourselves and make enough money to earn a living, or at least, or in the beginning, make enough money that we are being compensated for the work that we're putting in, or what we have is we have a hobby.
Exactly. So there's a book I read in 2021. Have you read Profits First?
I haven't, but I have to, because this is the second time in a week I've heard of that book.
Interesting. It is an amazing book. It was one of those books that when I read it was like, man, I wish that I read this on day one of my business. And I read it where I had $1,000 in my bank account. And it was similar to what you just said, the fourth person in a row over a couple of months. I was like, have you read this book? Have you read this book? So I had this $1,000, but I also knew that I couldn't afford to not pay myself out of the time I was taking for my business. It was like, wait, I need to start taking some money out of the business for myself because I need to take time off from the day job to do the things I need for my business. And I thought, before I touch this money, I'm going to read the book. And it was one of those books that I bought and I pretty much binge read over a weekend. And it was eye-opening, but one of the things that they talk about is how to pay yourself and how to be profitable from day one based on how you choose to allocate your money in your business. And it was one of those things, like I read that in October of 2021. And to your point about having a hobby, 2022 was the first year where my business actually acted like a business and not a hobby. And I had been going at it for 5 years, plugging away, and just, oh, well, I can justify that it's, all the expenses are accounted for. It's not negative, but I'm not making a living off of this.
Yeah.
So.
And that's very, I think that's very common, Andy. I'll give you an example of two women that I have known over the years that are entrepreneurs. One of them had hired, like, I think the coach was like $30,000-$40,000, and she's invested in all these programs, blah blah blah, and still not paying herself a salary. And I'm thinking, okay, if you got enough money coming in, she could have paid herself $40,000. You don't need a coach in the beginning. You just need to make some mistakes, make some money, figure out what's working, and get that kind of feet on the ground experience. I think you don't hire a $30,000-$40,000 coach until you're making, I don't know, maybe $400,000-$500,000 a year, because now you've got some miles under your sneakers and you have a great conversation you can have with someone about coaching your business. Our Rise Sister membership is $24 a month. So it's not like it's some, high price thing that's gonna drive in, two visits to Starbucks. Small investments are fine, but don't go hire a $30,000 coach until you're making $500,000 a year, because you got to pay yourself first and learn some hard lessons. That is not a shortcut.
Right.
We have to do that work. The other woman that I know, I saw she had a workshop that, and I was like so jealous because I saw her content everywhere on LinkedIn. It was so beautiful and the visuals were amazing. And I'm like, man, she is killing it. And I was like, wow, like, what am I doing? My stuff doesn't look anywhere near that good, And so probably fast forward to 4 or 5 months, we got on a call and I'm like, man, I got to tell you, I was having like entrepreneur envy, sister. Your content for your workshop is fantastic. And she goes, yeah, I spent $15,000 with a PR firm. I made five. So
Yeah.
it cost me 10 grand to do that. And I'm like, oh, so just because we see the bright, shiny, and we think we have to jump in that pool too, we don't. We can do small things, simple things, learn the lessons, get out there, experience being an entrepreneur. This is a long life. There is time later to invest in a coach once you have figured out your business.
Right. And I've heard you say this several times in our chat today, but I don't know if people have picked up on it, that you have said small things. You don't have to write a book every day. Like when you're talking about one thing to move your business forward, for me, sometimes it's like that might be my social media post for the day. That might be returning a phone call.
That's
And
right.
not that that's my whole business day a lot of days, but you do need a day off and downtime. So I do one thing a day to move my business forward. And sometimes it's a 10-hour day not leaving the computer because I'm working on a major project or whatever. But you also have to be okay going, you don't have to do that every day. Just do one little thing.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, mental health is important. If you need a couple days off, take a couple of days off, and be very deliberate about when you're going to start up again, right? So, my husband and I, we went to Kentucky and we went to Whiskey Row, and my brother-in-laws were there. I didn't do anything for 5, 6 days. I mean, I drank whiskey, we went on walks, we laughed and watched movies, and I didn't do anything. No work, didn't push anything forward. I would answer a few emails just so people wouldn't think I fell off the face of the earth. And I knew the day that I was going to come back and start working again. So yeah, take those days, take those weeks off, and don't leave it open-ended, on, Friday, December 8th. This girl's going to get back in the saddle and start like moving my business forward every day again. And then take the time you need.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Carla, before we go, what are the best ways for people to find you and support your business? Tell us a little bit about Rise Sisters and Get Paid from the Stage. We've kind of touched on those a little bit, but
Yeah.
how do people support you, buy from you, and help you grow your business this year?
So I am on LinkedIn. Anybody can find me on LinkedIn, and happy to have conversations from there. If you're interested in the Get Paid from the Stage program, getpaidfromthestage.com is the easiest way to find it. And you can check it out there, DM me if you have any questions about that at all. I need to get a new website. This year is in my plans for my personal website and my Rise Sister membership. Best way to learn about the Rise Sister membership, honestly, is just DM me. I'll send you a link because the website's a little bit clunky to get there. And would love to have some more kind and ambitious women join us in the Rise Sister membership. It's a fantastic, we're a small but mighty group. We're growing our businesses. And if it sounds like something that you've been looking for, we would love to have you join us. So just direct message me on LinkedIn, or my email is carla@thespeakersconnection.com, and we can chat there.
Excellent. So we've had such a great conversation, Carla. Before we go, I want to find out, is there anything else you want to touch on? And then I'm going to ask you for some advice on how people can own their awkward.
Oh, okay. I can't think of anything else to touch on. I'm curious. Okay. So are you going to direct me more on the owning your awkward, or
Sure. So let's say people are uncomfortable in their salary, whether it's their business or their thing. How would you challenge people this week in order to really step into that comfort zone or to really push it and get comfortable and do something to actually move the needle?
So I will say it's really interesting because I am so comfortable doing very scary things today. Whereas when I was younger, I liked that safety. Like I was not the one that I wanted to step out. I never would have thought I'd have been a speaker because I was terrified of speaking on the stage. The interesting thing that I've learned in my journey is the minute you take one step, it is instantly easier. Like that big thing that you think is so hard or scary or uncomfortable, the minute you say, I want to ask you a question, it might be a little bit uncomfortable, and I think I might be underpaid. Do you mind sharing with me what your salary is? It all of a sudden isn't so scary, you know? So whatever that thing is that's on your heart that you want to do, that dream that you have, that hard conversation that you want to have, I promise you, it is really not that hard. The second you take a step, it's like the anxiety just goes down. So take a step, try, don't expect perfection, and then just take the next step and the next step. And before you know it, you're going to look back and go, wow, that was not so bad.
And pretty soon, and that kind of ties right back into that taking one step every day. It's
Yes.
like, yeah, pretty soon you're at the top of the staircase or the top of the mountain.
And my biggest piece of advice is to remember that you're not taking steps to cover distance. It's not about the distance that you cover. It is simply about being in motion. So many times people will say, "Well, I don't want to take that. It's just such a small step." Like, but you don't get to the other side of the river in a leap. It is all small steps. And it's not about, don't judge the distance. It's simply about staying in motion.
Yeah, and I think that that definitely messes with our head where we have an expectation that comes from the step. It's like, well, I expected to get this far from that step, and then when we don't get the followers, the reactions, the like, the business, we get bitter about even having taken the steps. Like, well, maybe I took the wrong step, and it's like, no, just
There are
keep
no
going.
wrong steps. And I think the other thing too is to focus on being a giver. I really believe this. When we focus on giving, we can never go wrong. I'll have people all they're like, why do you give all that stuff away? Like people will say to me, oh, well, you know, I'm looking for a template for this, that. Oh, I've got one, I'll give it to you. Or they'll say, I'm not sure how to, you know, what my PowerPoint should look like. I'll send you mine. You can see what you think about that. I am not afraid to give anything away because it's all it's going to do is help other people, right? It's not going to hurt me any. Giving never hurt me. And so if we can focus on being a giver, so you know, social media is a perfect example. This is kind of a funny story. I had a goal at the beginning of this year. I've had the same goal for like 3 years to get to 1,000 followers on Instagram. And I've hovered at 633 for like 2 years, 633, 635, up, down, up, down. And I kind of quit. I still care about how many people are following me, but I quit creating content to try to get people to follow me and just really give from my heart and you know, share what's on my mind. So a couple weeks ago, I was planning for 2024 and I came across that goal and I was like putting down like, oh yeah, achieve my money goal, you know, achieve this one up, didn't achieve the Instagram goal. Didn't even think, okay, it's the end of the year, I might get 300 more followers next week. So I did a video. It ended up getting, I think, 58,000 views, something like 2,000 likes and shares or something. And I now have 1,030 some followers on Instagram. So that taught me a couple of things. One is never count out your goals because it can always happen in an unexpected way. And when I'm not focused on taking, so getting followers, getting people to like my content, what I can get, and I'm focused on giving, amazing things happen.
I love that. I love that story. I heard you share that last week or recently on your video, and I was like, wow, that is so powerful because it made me think about what goals did I still have for the end of the year that I have been ready to write off, going, oh,
Yeah.
it's December, it's the new year's gonna start. Like, what is like, I gotta not be in that mindset because it makes me stop working and following on them. But I love this way that you point out your focus. It wasn't on what can I take? What can I get? What am I going to get out of this? It's
That's
just,
right.
I'm being me, I'm putting it out there. And it makes it easier and more fun.
It does. It's so much more fun. And it takes the pressure off because the metrics aren't what I'm doing it for. So,
I
and in the
love
process, I got the metric I wanted. So there you go.
I love it. Well, Carla, I could talk to you for hours. I appreciate you coming on today and joining and talking about such an important thing about, how to have conversations, how to be brave, how to actually step out and get uncomfortable and awkward and say, hey, this is something we need to not hide in the shadows. Because I love your point about if something's being kept secret, it's because there's a problem that people don't want to bring to light. So thank you so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
And everybody else, go out there, do something awkward this week, ask the uncomfortable questions, take a simple, small step every day to stay in motion. And as always, I will, of course, go follow Carla on everything and then go own your awkward.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.